with me, if I can cope. I'm feeling very sick. That's why I switched off the aircon on top of me, on Honorable McKinsey. So, unfortunately for you, sitting that side, there might not be some air coming, because it's right, yeah. Otherwise, I might have to move here. I think maybe that's another option for me, to move to another side. Yeah, I'm really not well. So, members, we've circulated our program for today. We've got the, you might have picked up in terms of our ATT, that the quite number of several of treaties that needs to be ratified. As I explained in the last meeting, we'll take two, the ones that are urgent, because we need to approve them within a particular time frame. And then the others, so that we can have enough discussion, Minister, we put them for January, so that we can deal with them. The other item that we need to deal with is our report, the adoption of the report on the cost to communicate, public hearings. And then the last item will be the adoption of the first term program, meaning starting from January until April. So I hope colleagues have been able to look at that. In terms of our preparations for today, I think let me just go straight to the issues of the ratifications. There are several documents that were sent through, and I hope members are very clear on what. You definitely have two presentations, because there are two documents, and then the explanation in terms of the final acts of the World Conference, International Comms. I know the team was a bit getting confused between Hajira and Bugan, sometime re-wanting to send, already sent documents. And I think Oda McKenzie was responsible for causing that with the email. But eventually we got sorted out, and then we've got, and I hope members have even the annexures in terms of explanatory memorandum, the legal opinions that go with the documents. I'm just hoping that members had all the documents that were required for us to look at for the ratification, so that everybody have all the documents, have been able to go through. The presentation is almost the summary of what is contained in the documents. Once we're done, just to explain the process, members, we are expected to indicate our recommendation to the House, because this needs to be approved by the House. So we'll have to do a report. Those who were part of us last year, we did a similar process. The team here was a bit confused. Hajira was confused, because that time we did that, she was on strike, so she couldn't remember how we dealt with it, so we had to assist her. That at that time, that's what we did. So we did draft a report, but I think once we have had the presentation, we've engaged, we've satisfied ourselves, I'll come to the report. But for purposes of the meeting, we did draft something that I think I'm just explaining up front, so that if members have that document, are not confused what is happening here. That draft report is from the committee that we'll deal with at the tail end of the ratification discussions. So I'll give over to the Minister to take us through just the explanation first, and then we'll give the team, we'll hand over to the team to present.
Thank you, Chair. The team will brief the committee members of the details. We start with the 2012 ITR regulation ratification. What was important here was that we are bringing it a little bit late. The former minister attended this meeting with officials. To continue in all these fronts, we try and push what is in the best interest of South Africa, particularly the developing countries. And quite clearly, the previous regulations were in 1988. And at that time, the telecommunication was mainly about fixed lines. And the internet was in its infancy. So there was a lot of development which necessitated the change of regulations to take into account the developments in the in the telecoms industry. But what was also important that much as we, when we discuss these things, there are some tensions. Some of the key things as the African region, because we're leading the African region, we did achieve some of them. The official will speak to some of the details of these things, but as the mobiles were increasing and internet increasing, we needed to ensure that these interoperability standards, they continue to improve and apply across. But we also needed some more transparency about the pricing and so on by countries themselves. Also, some of the concerns were already rising about the protection online, which was quite critical, and they had an extensive debate, particularly cyber security and the protection of these networks itself, including what was increasing, what is called a spam, where people just send a lot of things you don't need. We're still experiencing them. So we're coming to present all those things which were agreed there and which we thought that they were in the interest of our region and South Africa in particular. But also the regulations were starting to say we must open up access. We must provide for the disabled, which were not adequately provided for in the access of these digital networks and internet. So we thought those were quite critical for us as a country, because there are quite a number of, tell the number of people who are having disability around the world. They were also starting to introduce the issue of e-waste. How are we going to manage e-waste as we're having more of these gadgets and they die every second year? We don't have a mass graveyard for them. So how are we going to manage? It was encouraging some basic rules on establishing effective e-waste management. we've spoken about the safety in the communication, and it was also saying to deal with the huge cost of communication, particularly in developing countries, we should encourage the development of these regional exchange point networks, so that the content, the people who don't want to access the internet, they don't have to go far into developing countries. So those are some of the things I thought I should just put here, that it has become then important now that we also ratify. There are others, but we have brought these first two. The first one is on the ratification of the of this 2013 telecoms regulation. Are they guided by you, share whether should we take both or should we deal with one first? Thank you.
I think let's take one first so that we clear it, because it's separate issues, so that even our report is
May I then through you, share, ask the officials just to take us through a quick presentation, if you allow, so that we can allow adequate time for members to for us to clarify whatever they'd like us to clarify. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I would like to greet all the honourable members. Very good morning. Thank you very much to the Minister for the opening remarks. If I may, through you, Chair, just introduce the members of the team. My name is firstly Nonkobela Jordan, Acting DDG International. To my left, I have Mr. Jim Patterson. He is the Director, ICT Multilateral, responsible for our multilateral program. We also then have Mr. Dick Sono. He's the Chief Director, Radio Frequency Spectrum. And Mr. Sulami Doi, who's also in the Chief Directorate. He's the Director responsible also for Radio Frequency Spectrum. And I think lastly, you also know Mr. Bugani, Tim. We wanted to bring, as, and I'd like to thank the chairperson as well as the portfolio for accommodating us with regards to the ratification process. It is quite a lengthy process for us. We needed to first take, as when after we've signed, even prior in terms of the negotiations process, we need to make sure that it is aligned to our own legal prescripts and our constitution. And then afterwards, we would then need to come back and to check it against our domestic law. And I think you have copies of the legal opinion from the Department of Justice. And then also check it against your international treaties. Therefore, we also needed to get legal opinion from the state law advisors at International Relations and Cooperation. We then needed to also, because of the implementation and the impact of it, to then consult government extensively, as well as then the industry, because they would be the implementing arm. We then took it through our ICTS cluster and through cabinet prior to it being here, being tabled here. We have received endorsement from all the players, including obviously industry, and I think most critical for us from a regulatory perspective would be ICASA, our regulator, from an enforcement perspective. We also see the opportune time for us while we're bringing it now here is that it will also assist us in the process of the bill for the ICT white paper in the various areas. And I think most key for us is the issues of transparency and wholesale pricing. That is quite key, and then obviously the issues of access. I will now hand over to my colleague, Mr. Jim Patterson, to quickly just take us through. The Minister has already touched on some of the strategic focus.
Thank you, Nonkabela, and good morning, Minister and Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm going to start on slide number 3, and just to quickly go through the slides. I've been told not to take too long, so if I'm going too fast or too slow, I feel quite happy to be guided by the Chair. Okay, so the ITRs, I think they help facilitate the impact that ICTs can have on socioeconomic development, which is a cross-cutting impact across diverse sectors, and it includes lowering the cost of doing business globally in the sector. Next slide on page 4. Okay, the Minister touched on this. The old international telecommunication regulations that were originally agreed in Melbourne in 1988 were extremely outdated at the time. I think that the Minister has already highlighted the differences between now and then, some of the key features. But at that time, a lot of the telecommunication traffic was also between governments, between government entities. And since then, of course, the world has also largely privatized the telecommunication environment. But the original ITRs had provided a lot of certainty in the international environment, and this had facilitated the era that followed of privatization, competition, deregulation, and the growth of the ICT sector, and ultimately as a backbone for the Internet. I think most of these points we've already captured. I think one of the also remarkable features was the huge growth in mobile telephony, which has been very dramatic, with Africa now the largest growing market in the world. So I think that the telecommunication and the internet environment is completely transformed in the period we're talking about. So we had to agree then on, we have these old ITRs, what do? We must obviously replace them so that we can make sure that we have something relevant to the global environment. And it took an extremely long time to agree on a new date for a new meeting. You know, in the multilateral environment, you have talks about talks and so on, and eventually they agreed that in 2012 we would have what we call a World Conference in International Telecommunications, and we would revise the ITRs. And even then, we were discussing then what we would revise in those ITRs, what the new ITRs were allowed to include. And I think this is where certain countries were extremely worried that there may be intrusion in the internet space, and those particular countries did not want any government involvement in the internet space at all, including mentioning the word internet if possible. So there were attempts to limit then the agenda, and even then, once that had failed, there was a huge amount of lobbying that went on around the world. There were delegations, especially from the USA, but also other countries, two different countries. There were meetings held with stakeholders in different countries, including South Africa. We weren't invited to, so it wasn't completely multi-stakeholder because they excluded the host government. And there was also a lot of, I think, fear-mongering in the media around the world that there was a plot to take over the internet. If there was a plot, I don't think we were really part of it. We hadn't really anticipated trying to change the ITRs to deal with the internet. It would be unlikely that a two-week conference in the UN dealing with telecommunications would be able to take on the whole of the internet as well. So next slide, number 7. So what was agreed, anyway, this led to a fairly bad atmosphere, but when you actually read the ITRs, you'd actually wonder why the controversy, because they're not really very controversial. The new ITRs are dealing with, especially one of the key issues is quality of service. The language is phrased or framed so that it's not making ITU standards compulsory, because it's the nature of ITU standards that they're not, but it does encourage alignment with ITU standards. ITU produces a lot of standards on a whole variety of different telecommunication and ICT issues, and so that's a kind of international benchmark, and generally they're adopted through consensus and implemented by common practice, so they become de facto standards. One of the key issues, I think, for us is transparency in international roaming prices. This was particularly to avoid bill shock, where customers suddenly find that they have a huge bill because they were using the internet in another country using their domestic service provider, and also disseminate good information to users of roaming services when they visit other countries. That should have basic information about what they need to know in that country. So some of these we already comply with, but there are bigger issues around roaming. For example, providing a competitive environment in roaming prices. That is something we would have to look at in more detail going forward. Having the ITRs would help us to do that, but it's also something that would require further international dialogue as well. And regulatory interventions, probably. Then the minister touched on the access, the highlighting the importance of access to telecommunication services for people with disabilities. That it encourages real efforts to be made to ensure that people with disabilities are able to access telecommunication services. And another area where we'd also have to do probably more work with. Well, work is already being done with the Department of Environment, but we could follow up certainly in terms of highlighting ITU standards and guidebooks on energy efficiency and e-waste practice. There's also an article dealing with the misuse of numbering resources, which is often associated with fraudulent practices. That would be a regulatory issue to follow up. There's also an article encouraging the provision of caller line identification information. The ITRs also prioritize safety of life telecommunications and encourage the development of regional telecommunication traffic exchange points to help lower the cost of international telecommunication services. And they encourage investment in international telecommunication networks. They encourage wholesale competitive pricing, and the application of basic pricing principles. They also provide a framework for international agreements based on transparency and practicality and causality. Further economic benefits include guidelines around dispute resolution and the possibility of commercial special mutual arrangements to assist, and also measures to assist in avoiding double taxation for international services. And then I think it was also highlighted that it provides a regulatory framework which addresses maritime telecommunications in the maritime mobile service and maritime satellite services to ensure that services are paid and collected. And then two of the really controversial issues were the issues of cybersecurity and spam. It was felt that this was encroaching on the internet space. But I think a lot of countries also felt that, particularly developing countries, that they invest a lot in these telecommunication networks, and they felt that it would be better to have some reference in the international telecommunication regulations to highlight the importance of cooperation in the area of cybersecurity so they can protect the investments they've made and protect the users, more importantly, of the services that are carried on those backbones. So that was really addressing cybersecurity and spam. The language used was security and robustness of international telecommunication networks and unsolicited bulk electronic communications, the latter meaning spam, which is one of the definitions of spam. So we said it without saying it. So in the ITU, the normal culture is to try and agree everything by consensus, and this is one of the painful things with the ITU, because you can have plenary meetings beginning after 12 o'clock at night in this context. But for all those meetings, there was a need for voting. And for the issue around cybersecurity, the chair took the temperature of the room and assessed where delegates were standing and made a decision to pass the cybersecurity resolution within the constitution of the ITU. And there was a formal vote on the issue of member states' right to access international telecommunication networks, which is an extension of the idea that that ICT should be a human right. And this has been recognized already in the UN. So it was an extension of that. There was also other human language, human rights language included in the preamble of the ITRs. So it does try and uphold international human rights obligations in general. In terms of implementation, we will have to engage with other stakeholders on areas that require further action. Some will be quite straightforward. Others, like I think the international roaming, is slightly more complex, but this will be, I think generally there's an agreement at government level and within cabinet that we should do this. And then I think, okay, just to mention on the treaty process, the treaty came into effect between all those who were signatories to the ITRs, no, sorry, all those who'd agreed to be bound, who'd ratified it or acceded to it, on the first, I think it's on January 2015, 1st of January 2015. And it's also implemented already on a provisional basis between those countries that signed it. But the treaty becomes formally binding on all signatories from December 2017. So unless we've said at that point to the ITU that we don't intend to be bound by it, we would be bound by it. It's a self-provisioning mechanism. Okay, and then, so our recommendation is that the ITRs are a beneficial agreement and that we should ratify it. We should note that a lot of the articles are not actually compulsory in the way they've been crafted. There's a few encourages, promotes, should, or should endeavor to, not so much will or shall, in terms of how things are phrased. So it implies that this is what countries should try and do, and they should make an effort to implement. Because of the controversies, 89 countries signed out of 152 that were participating. So the original ITRs, it was 112 countries, and I think it was probably 112 participants. And so far, 7 countries have ratified or acceded. One of the reasons might be for this, that because of the timing, the ITRs took place in 2012, and most countries, nearly, I think about 90% of countries in the world have quite an extensive procedure for ratification of treaties. So it normally takes them quite long. So they may have deferred it because the 2014 ITU Plenipotentiary Conference would have been 2 years away. And in that conference, if they'd then dealt with the constitution and convention of the ITR, of the ITU, it would have automatically recognized the administrative regulations of the ITU, which would have included the ITRs. But there was no amendment to the constitution and convention of the ITU. So I think that self-provisioning approach didn't work. So far, it's just seven countries that have ratified or acceded. And then the way it works is that the old ITRs remain in effect for those who did not sign or accede to the new ITRs, even in relation to those who signed the new ITRs. There's already discussion now about, which is a good thing, about reviewing the ITRs on a more regular basis, so that we don't have to wait, how many years, 24 years to revise them. Okay, that was the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that. I think let's take questions and comments on this specific one, and then we'll move to the next one for the discussion, as we said. I noted Honourable Mackenzie, Honourable Sotetse, Honourable Shin, Honourable Swin. On that order, members.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you all for the presentation. Just firstly, let me commend you for the presentation, the way all the documentation was presented. It made it, even for a non-geek such as myself, it made it quite easy to understand. So thank you for that. Just in terms of the voting process at the conference, is there any weighting allocated to specific countries, or is it one man, one vote? That's my question. Thank you.
No, it's okay.
Thank you, Chair. On the culture of agreement by consensus, which is often agreed by exhaustion, to what extent can you guarantee the correctness of what you agree on if you are in this condition or situation? And on the effect for those who did not sign, what would be the implication of not signing? That is, is it not posing some impediment to those who have signed in terms of progress?
Honourable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just wanting to check that we did, I recall we did sign the agreement, that's right. Who are the seven countries that have ratified it so far? I mean, because it would seem that an awful lot of them haven't. So are we going to be a minority here? Not that that bothers me, but why are the others not signing?
Honourable Suella.
So thank you, Chairperson. What I would like to ask is how regular should these ITRs be reviewed?
Okay. I think this is the one, just to verify. TDG, the annexure sheet is the list. The signatures. Did you notice it? No. The country. Oh, okay. Okay. No one. Yeah. It's then, eh? Okay. We'll give over to the team to respond.
Thank you. I think they can answer most of the questions. I'm sorry that we didn't circulate. I thought they did circulate the list of the eight countries. It's not secret, so we should circulate it to members. is Antigua and Bermuda, Azerbaijan, Belarus, Kenya, Saudi Arabia, Trinidad and Tobago, and Vietnam. Those who have ratified, but there are many who already signed. My understanding is what is the status of a vote in the ITU is one man, one vote, one country, one vote. But as colleague has said, much as we have got equal votes, the amount of influencing by big countries is quite big. I can tell you, we just came from a postal union where virtually two countries prevented the reform, which we have to continue to go and negotiate. So the bulk of it, the politics of it, is the national interest of those countries. In most of the instances, they'll be protecting their commercial interests coming out of this thing of protecting their multinational companies who are operating in this space. So that's what is there. Controversy, not that there's a rogue state somewhere, but it's people trying to, at all costs, protecting the commercial interests of those who are in the forefront already. And it becomes difficult for us as developing countries to accept that because we also got companies which have to grow and become globally competitive and exploit the same space. So that's the politics of it. People will stand on tables. It becomes the session goes until 3 o'clock in the morning, just people trying to prevent the votes. And I won't say what other methods they try and use to coerce states to take their interest. But what normally helps in all these international things is if you have got alliances. That's why the issue of us, we never go to any international thing without first having a subject meeting where we may not agree 100%, but we take things we're agreeing on. We will not go to any international without getting the African countries meeting and having some common position. That's where usually difficulties start, because it's very difficult. But in most instances, because we share the same developmental objectives, we find consensus and agree. It's always better not to vote and have consensus, because when people are voting, we don't know what they're really going to vote for. So, but we do understand some of the countries, they get threatened. If you continue to vote this way, we will deal with you in terms of assistance, financial assistance and aid. So. That's a crux of it, in my own view. what should guide us as a country? What helps is these national consultations you are speaking to. We don't go to these international conferences without consulting our own industry first. South African key stakeholders, because they do participate there. Even if we have got differences in some of the minor things, but we usually try and have consensus so that by the time we go to cabinet to get a mandate, cabinet always insists what has been the consultation and so on. So I thought I should just raise those. Then they'll answer the rest about the regularity of the meeting.
Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you, Chair. With ministers indicated in terms of the way to vote, Honourable McKenzie, it's one country. But as the minister indicated, there are alliances. So you'd find that the UK would call, they have side meetings. So you have your Commonwealth meetings, and then obviously those also the Germans and whatever not, they would try and persuade their colonial entities. So it becomes a very difficult, and then obviously the French as well, because even in Africa we end up being divided between Francophone Africa as well as Anglophone Africa. So those are then some of the dynamics and the challenges as we go into any of these international treaty decision forums. The consensus by exhaustion, Honorable Zogetse, it is true. They do that a lot, and you know, we do know that there would be some countries also where they will be persuaded through monetary. And again, we want to again come back to the issue with regard to the French. You know, they control even the currency flow with the banks. So you would find that some of the delegations, they get a little pocket of persuasions, and people end up going shopping then to stay in the plenary room. But I just want to highlight that there is a code of conduct for us as the South African delegations that we sign, and no member of the delegation, for example, is open up to issues of negotiations unless we go back to head office. So we do not, we never try to deray from our what we've been given as a mandate by cabinet. And then with regard to the implications on not signing. There are obviously options in terms of international treaties at a later stage that you, those countries perhaps did not sign, they can accede to a treaty at a later stage. We are then obviously using various platforms within, again, the continent and through BRICS as well and ITU Council to persuade members to accede or to ratify the conventions on a regular basis. As Jim indicated, the assumption normally is that when we go to an ITU, they piggyback all the other decisions prior to that. And then if, when they change the constitutions, automatically when you do a ratification, you ratify all the other instruments unless obviously as a country you've expressed reservations. Unfortunately, there were no constitution changes to the last ITU in 2014. And therefore, that's why now the ITU is continuously sending messages to member states, urging them to ratify. And also, secondly, I think there's a long, extensive process with regard to the ratification, as I highlighted earlier. there is, I must indicate, a support, especially from the African and developing countries, also within the Arab group, on these ITRs when we do go to the ITU Council. So I think it's just a matter of the process and coming up with fast-tracking the issues of ratification. Honorable Zoela, with regards to the regularity of, we propose that they need to be reviewed every 8 years. That has been, I think, considering the radical, but that has also not been approved. We're hoping that the ITU 2018 will endorse that particular decision of saying that the ITRs would need to be regulated. At ITU, as indicated by both the Minister and Jim, there is a huge lobbying to avoid issues related to the Internet, precisely because of this particular control by one dominant country. So anything that's got to do with, even there's supposed to have been a global international policy conference, they've been avoiding that, precisely because you know now that you need to come in. This is the next big thing. This is what we call the fourth revolution. And they're trying to avoid it by all means. So anything that is going to open up the issues of transforming the sector, emerging players, recognizing the sovereign rights of member states with regard to the control and management of the Internet, they would avoid it by all means. And that is why then we are using other platforms and avenues and continuing to champion these issues both within the ITU as well as within other structures, global governance structures, to really try to change this. And that is why the Minister indicated that there's a meeting, the Internet Governance Forum, that is coming up next month, where we have a position on this particular issue. It's the same position that we had last year at the UN Summit, and that is the one that will be taken here, to say that all member states need to be recognized and treated equally, and the sovereign rights of member states then to manage the use of the Internet. I think, yeah. And it indicated the number of, but we can circulate also the list that I've ratified. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think mainly, maybe Minister, coming from the sentiments Honorable Shin was asking, you have few countries that have ratified. Why are we wanting to ratify now as South Africa? And maybe somebody might say, we have until December 2017. Those things, maybe let's get out of that one. just to clarify the importance of us getting this ratified now.
Thank you, Chair. Why we want to ratify now, as indicated, we see a number of clauses within the ITR that will assist us with issues addressing the issues of wholesale pricing as a country, and also touching on the issues of roaming. We've been grappling with this particular issue of roaming at a regional level within SADC, and we felt that if we can perhaps then fast track this particular issue of the ratification, it will assist us then to amend our own legal prescripts and also then charge ICASA then to make sure that we regulate the issues of wholesale, and there will be transparency on that. Currently, this is a big battle, Chair, with the mobile operators. They're absolutely refusing, and then they will come back and they say, well, where is it in terms of your legal prescript that indicates that we need to share that particular information? Secondly, as the Minister indicated, emerging players, we want to, South Sea has just broken ranks. There is what part of this negotiations of cost. Most of what you call your roaming partners, they are residing in the UK, and they chow a lot of money. So imagine Vodacom trying to negotiate with an entity, an operator in Malawi. It's never going to be an equal play. And it's also then the roaming partner or the roaming agreement partner is the UK-based. We are trying to make sure that we then do the regulations to make sure that as and when a country have got the capabilities, which is what South Sea has, they would then become the roaming partners and they would be able to negotiate these agreements in terms of an equal play, leveling the playing ground. We also then see the issues with regard to your e-waste that are quite important and also with regard to your energy efficiency. There's a lot of products that get dumped, especially unfortunately that most of the cases you find that they dump in terms of the developing countries. We have absolutely no regulations on that. So if we are able to harmonize and standardize this across the continent, and I must indicate sometimes a lot of the African countries are waiting for South Africa's stance to say if South Africa, this is the way that they would either one borrow our own policies or don't follow the same pursuit that that we're following. So we are seeing those particular issues, Chair, that are quite critical for us going into the next hegemony. And for us, I think the wholesale is going to have a huge bearing if we don't address the issues of data cost now. If we want to roll out broadband and we want to make it universally accessible and for all, we need to make sure that there's a regulation on the issues of pricing, and especially data pricing. Thank you, Chair.
Just to emphasize one point, which we're working with the CAS and now trying to resolve. Just SADC, we took a decision that we should have started last year or two years ago, to harmonize the roaming cost to roam like home in our region. The Eastern region already done it, but because we're a constitutional state, now people say, show us where it is within your statute or instrument, international instruments. And we just had a summit now, SADC in Switzerland recently, where really other countries were feeling that South Africa is becoming a little bit arrogant, if you put it in a diplomatic way, because the bulk of the traffic comes through here, even the roaming traffic, and the charges are exorbitant, and people, even those who are here, they like to phone home, but they are really bad by these high roaming costs. There was a glide path which we agreed with SADC together with our regulators where we're going to reduce it over a period of about 3 years, these roaming costs. But it has not started. So, and the SADC really were appealing to us that let's do something before February. Because other countries, what they did pilot of this Roam Like Home, I think. It was Namibia, Botswana, Zambia. There are quite a number of them. So we are working with ICASA to find ways to deal with this, because we're starting to have negative relations with our neighbors because of that. It's not nice when you're sitting in a meeting and say, we told you, just relax it because you are making money out of us. we're not saying the the companies are not really hostile, but the CEOs are enjoying the benefits because it's revenues. And but they say, no, we'll comply as long as you follow your national law and prescripts. So that, I'm just putting that as one example, which is really putting pressure on South Africa and our regulator, because the regional regulator, CRASA, has been raising this matter, that it can be done. Why was it easy in Eastern region? Because there it was just countries agreeing, they then implemented. We thought we were going to do the same. We agreed, we thought it was going to be easy to implement. But we're finding these hurdles which we have to. But as Nomela said, these things about e-waste, about ensuring access to people living with disabilities, I think they are critical in terms of our stance as a country, in terms of human rights and ensuring environmental sustainability. It adds to what they are busy negotiating in terms of climate change and environmental sustainability at the stance of South Africa. Those are very critical things. The regional exchange points, we have already implemented them. I think South Africa is lead by far in Africa. We were the first country to be given, even outside our country, to provide regional exchange points for the SADC region. Which we launched a couple of months ago, and it's working well. We do have capacity, and there's economy for our own entrepreneurs in the internet space. Our companies were internet service providers. They are actually training and assisting African countries to set up their own regional internet exchange fund. And the cost, because they are quite significant. I think somebody, it was the AU commissioner responsible for infrastructure, was saying the preliminary studies, just by having these regional exchange points we are providing for SADC, for a country like Namibia, it caused about 30% drop of the international bandwidth cost. So they are not just minor things, quite significant. At the domestic level, we're trying to extend this regional. Currently, they are around Joburg, Cape Town, and Durban. That all major cities must have this because it really reduces the cost to communicate. It contributes to the cost to communicate. I thought I should just add those, Shepherd.
Thank you very much, Minister and Tim, for the explanation. Any follow-up, Honorable Shin? Any other member? Honorable Zotis? Okay, those two then.
Thank you, Chairperson John. I haven't found the list of ratification at the end of this file. We weren't obviously sent it previously. I noticed that there are no SADC people have ratified this, and yet you're saying this is important for us to ratify this because you want to actually work closer with, you know, gel with the SADC country. Do we have any idea of the status of their process with this this treaty? Because otherwise, you know, we're the only people doing it in the point that in the neighborhood, is it?
And I also this.
Yes, not a question, but just a comment that as we emphasize on accessibility of disabled people, we must make sure that the program runs parallel with, you know, some improvement on education, because they must be able to read so they can be able to access the graduates.
Can respond.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the comment, I think, from Honorable Sogetsi, and we'll take that into in terms of the awareness building and then building also education programs. With regard to SADC, The status, I know that the few countries that are also following the suit, Zimbabwe is and Zambia, but and also Namibia. But what they've also done, Honorable Shin, is that on the issue of roaming, the clauses that are in the ITRs, they've already included them in their own, what you call the Electronic Communications Act. So they wouldn't be as much urgency as we would require. For us, I think we're having challenges with regard to the wholesale transparency that we don't have it currently in the ECA. So that is why then we are trying to fast track our process. But I do know that they already have similar language incorporated within their Electronic Communications Act, especially as the Minister indicated, the countries that have already started with this particular issue, and hence they're not having problems with regard to the regulations of the roaming pricing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, members. I think let's conclude this one. Honorable Shin, your mic is on. Let's conclude this one. As I said earlier on, members, that a one-pager, I hope you found it, the one-pager report will be in your pack. It's a written report of the Portfolio Committee on Telecommunication and Postal Services on the International Telecommunication Regulations 2012, dated 15 November 2016. The Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications and Postal Services, having considered the International Telecommunications Regulation 2012 and explanatory memorandum thereto, referred to it, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 213, subsection 2 of the Constitution, approve the said agreement report to be considered. Are we in agreement, members, for us to ATC this and refer it to, for the House to approve? Honorable Suwela?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, move for the adoption of the report. Mr. Honda? Honorable Ndongeni, seconds. Thank you very much, members. Now we're done with the first ratification. Shall we move to the next one, Minister? Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We hope that the report to the presentation will be brief. In terms of the regions of the ITU were in Region 1. In Region 1 were mixed with Europe. and Europe tend to be our main former colonizers. There is no big fundamental problem, except that if you check, Europe is far developed in terms of ICT infrastructure than us. They are far ahead even in terms of satellite than us. So because these things are negotiated on a regional basis, while we're trying to have some of these things negotiated across the globe, most of them, they apply in regions. The spectrum allocations are done in terms of regions, and there's an attempt to harmonize globally. So I thought I should just give that background, that as the African continent, sometimes we find ourselves with those dynamics, which makes it difficult to negotiate these things, but we always try and have some consensus. We always try and persuade some of our European friends to understand the developmental needs of our region. As we have said also in WSUP 2015, we're driven by the interests of South Africa and the interest of the African Union or African continent. And we succeeded in most, really we're happy with the outcomes of the WSR 15. As you will see, we're the biggest beneficiary in terms of the quantum of the spectrum, which was additional. I think it's 487. Megahertz of spectrum. We're the largest, but they'll show you when they're presenting. The biggest tension is mobiles, because of the growth of the mobiles and the Internet of Things and mobility, is going to continue. That mobile will require more and more spectrum. and other sectors tend to feel that we are pushing them out. So in terms of the mobile spectrum, what's called IMT, we did receive, I think it's 700, but they'll give you the details. But also we try to protect the broadcaster digital spectrum, which is below 700. and we achieved that, but it's up for renegotiation in 2019. So if we don't move on some of the things in terms of broadcasting spectrum utilization, then we may find ourselves with difficulties, because at ITU they are doing studies now, even in whether that space, that those bands can be cohabited. Currently they are for the broadcasting. We did some also maintain to achieve to get some spectrum which is for search and rescue and maritime, and it becomes more important for South Africa as we enter this oceans economy. It's important that we have got adequate spectrum for communication, for safety at sea, and for communication and protection of our interests there as a country. the big issue was about global flight tracking, particularly after Air Malaysia disaster. And we thought it was going to be difficult to negotiate, but it was easy to reach consensus on this one. So there is dedicated spectrum for aircraft. You must remember we've got a lot of aircraft which travel long distances on the sea. If you're going to Americas, you go for hours and hours on the sea. So if you're going to Australia, it's the same thing. If you're going to Asia, it's the same thing. So it is in our national interest that we also protect our aircraft which traverse this vast amount of sea. There were also spectrum for various services, including scientific research, which is very critical for road safety. It's going to become even more important as we go to Internet of Things, because, as you may know, we're trying to prevent the road accidents. Now the cars have got all these sensors. They use spectrum. it may be short-range spectrum, but we want to protect the spectrum so that those who are doing other things don't cause accidents by interfering with the spectrum, you know. And we are protecting particularly those who like shipping. even if they want to knock walls or other cars, the car would refuse. So I thought I should just put those and allow the team to make a brief presentation. let me be upfront, because people may... I'll try and find it somewhere in the near sentence. let me just put upfront, because one is there's this thing called unmanned drones. unmanned aircraft. As a country, we supported this. We also moved for it on several grounds. With the protection of our environment and the environmental survey and the protection of our animals, it becomes a reality that we must have these things. But also, not for offensive purposes, but our soldiers, they are all over in bad terrain where they should have some surveillance of what is happening around them, as we do peacekeeping in Africa. So those are I thought I should just put those up front, that we were very given clear mandate that it's not like those countries who want to use drones to bomb other people. it's mainly for peaceful use and protection of our environment and safety of our citizens. I thought I should just put that up front and then ask if share allows to the team to present. Thank you.
Can at least
the
drones are going to be used for non-defensive
means. Can we use them to try and track down the Sabine?
I'll
try and answer that question when I feel more
focused.
Through you, Chair, thank you very much to the honourable members. We're happy to note that the WRC took place in Geneva, Switzerland, so it was nowhere near any. Yes, we just wanted just to give some again the process that we undertook. This was quite an elaborate process. We've already started now for the next WRC 19. We've had 8 national preparatory meetings. These are formal structured meetings since 2013. The last WRC was in 2012. But over and above that, we are mandated, according to the ECA, to consult the security cluster. So we've had numerous engagements outside of that with key departments. We've also had 6 continental engagements, which is basically under the African Telecommunications Union. We also took the positions to at a political level under the AU umbrella. And we've had 5 SADC ministerial meetings. As the minister indicated, that SADC becomes our backbone and primary element in terms of us making sure that we try to lobby and influence the international space. South Africa also commissioned quite a number of proposals together with the SADC community in terms of the bands that we wanted to protect. Minister indicated the ones that I think the WRC would find that there's a huge discourse between what you call as the developmental agenda vis-a-vis the commercial interest by parties. And you have those from the satellite industry competing against your broadcasters, competing against your mobile operators, and then obviously the aviation field as well would also be requiring similar amount of spectrum to be able to operate. Honourable members, we want to apologise that we could not print the WRC final act. It's 550. Yes. So we needed to save a couple of trees on that, but we did avail a link on the website for you to then look at those. The team prior, as I indicated, we also took this to cabinet for us then to get the endorsement in terms of our negotiation act. We took a very huge delegation, about 42 members from government departments as well as industry players, and I think collectively we were quite one in those negotiations, despite obviously that we would have differences there. We would really like to thank that spirit of unity, I think, that was seen by that. There was plenty of attempts to reach consensus by exhaustion. I think Sulami would tell you that he spent a number of mornings still sitting up in the same suits and same clothing. But nonetheless, I think as Africa, we can celebrate that we really did succeed. South Africa, together with Rwanda, Kenya, as well as Nigeria, who chaired the WRC, we were very, very, very vocal. And I think number of negotiations where we managed to save, especially those bands, looking at your broadcasters, they actually happened in the last 2 days of this WRC. And Africa can just, we need now to be more vigilant in terms of participating in the study groups to make sure that we protect the national interest. So let me then hand over to Mr. Dixono, who will then take us through the presentation.
Thanks, DG. Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Minister, and honorable members. The spectrum work in general, it's too technical, and hence I've put the disclaimer at the beginning there, and I'll try my best to try tone it down to make sure that we, I mean, I'm understandable as I talk. I know we can be complicated sometimes, but that's the whole point. There was the radio conference. The last radio conference was convened last year in November 2015 from the 2nd to the 27th. The ECA mandates the minister to represent the Republic at the ITU in dealing with allocation of radio frequency spectrum. And let me put it to this committee that the minister successfully represented the Republic as head of delegation at this particular conference. And at the end of the conference, the minister signed the final acts on behalf of the Republic on the 27th of November 2015. This particular final act, the ITU will take it as the main treaty decisions, and hence, as member states, we are required to ratify this particular final act. Now, the responsibility thereof of the World Radio Conference is basically to review and revise the radio regulation in order to reflect any technological developments and respond to market changes and any services that are specific to the requirements for the of the different nations. What are these ITU radio regulations? These are basically an agreed framework of rights, obligations, procedures and applicable and that is applicable between countries in the many uses of radio frequency spectrum. Within the radio regulations, we have what we call an international table of frequency allocation, which is amended every 4 years whenever there's a World Radio Conference. Subsequent to that, we need to, as a Republic, update the National Radio Frequency Plan, which is the plan that contains all the allocations of the different spectrum uses or the different services of Region 1 of the Republic, and all the typical applications or services that the likes of your mobile satellite services aeronautical within that particular National Radio Frequency Plan. This particular regulation that we bring in force, it was first adopted at the WRC 95, World Radio Conference 1995. Subsequently, it was revised and approved at WRC 97, then 2000, then 2003, then 2007, 2012, and the latest version, which is the latest one, is the same at the conference of last year. This particular international radio regulations, they were published 2 weeks ago in November 2016. Now, the question that one would ask is that why have we not done the finalized the National Radio Frequency Plan? We were waiting basically for this particular publication by the ITU. So they were finally published in November, that is basically around the 5th of November. This particular radio regulations, they will come into force effective the 1st of January. Hence, the need for the department and ICASA to finalize the National Radio Frequency Plan, so that when this particular regulations comes into force, we have the plan already to have the minister officially signing it, and it can be used for allocation of spectrum within, let's say, within the country. In terms of the strategic focus that we had as we were heading for the conference, and this was, as my colleague had mentioned, that prior to the conference we took the position of the positions that we had. We had more than 40 decisions that we made, positions that we had developed before the conference. There were several processes up to coming to the cabinet committee, and we got cabinet endorsed in those particular positions that we were taking forth. Now, one thing that was also mentioned is that the position that we're taking as a republic, we don't get to change it. We signed before to say you cannot have outside caucuses and change the decision that has made, unless if it is absolutely necessary. And with minister being there, there's consultations that keep on taking place every now and then. So we've managed to secure the different spectrum bands at that particular conference in order to respond to the domestic spectrum requirements. And these are basically being done in line with the different government policies. The likes of the NDP, we look at it, the spectrum policy, and all the different policies of government to ensure that whatever the decisions that we take, it's in line with those particular policies. It is also our responsibility now coming back to say, if there's an ITU regulation or international regulation, it's simply a guideline that we need to align ourselves with. So as a republic, we have the responsibility to look at our policies as we develop the plan. We align the plan with our different policy requirements. One thing that is also important, that's mandated by the ECA, it requires the minister to make sure that as the process outlines or unfolds, he protects a spectrum that is exclusively assigned for security services. So we've successfully managed to do that, to protect that particular spectrum as we were heading for the conference. We're also required to look out for spectrum that is currently assigned by the likes of your scientific research, aeronautical, and civil aviation. Key to our mandate as we're heading was to ensure that we protect spectrum for broadband, or get more spectrum for broadband, protect spectrum for digital TV. Members who will be aware that there's a process to move from analog to digital TV. As you move, you have mobile also trying to, if I have to use the word still, trying to get more spectrum that is currently being used by broadcasters. So it was our responsibility to make sure that as we go to the conference, we protect that particular spectrum. And trust me, the influence is not only nationally here. When you get to the conference, you get to be lobbied by associations like GSMA and all these other international companies that support mobile to have more spectrum for that. But we successfully managed to protect that particular spectrum for broadcasters. We've also managed to get more spectrum for mobile satellite services, and also created a more flexible regulatory framework that can be used in terms of the allocation of spectrum. What is also key to us is that whatever the decisions that we're making, we need to ensure that there's harmonization within the region. Minister spoke to the Republic being in Region 1 of the ITU. So it was our responsibility to ensure that we harmonize in as much as we can with the region, sub-region, that is SADC, and also the continent. In doing that, we had to make sure that that whatever the decisions that we're taking, there's benefits on in terms of economies of scale in the use of devices. And what is also key for us is that whatever the decisions that you're taking while you're busy doing the allocation, you do not interfere with any services that are already allocated within certain bands. Now, the same interference, we need to make sure that as we coordinate, we do not interfere with our neighboring countries. Okay? In terms of this particular ratification, if what will be the implication of the Republic if we do not do this? We stand to be disadvantaged as in a long run if we do not do this in such a way that South Africa might not be recognized when there's frequency coordination issues before deployment of services. If you were to deploy, for example, the likes of your satellite or any other terrestrial services that are out there, your neighboring countries can easily interfere with you. Now, if you haven't ratified, you can't go back to the ITU and say, I'm having challenges in this particular. So this particular process is very, very much key to ensure that any interference or coordination that takes place, you are basically protected as a republic. There's also market signals that we look at as we take these particular decisions to make sure that whatever it is that we do, it's also informed by the market and the trends in terms of where the markets are going. So we look into those as we take these particular decisions. It is also our responsibility now as government. And of course, with working with the regulator to make sure that we take these particular outcomes and we implement them. To avoid a situation where you've got good outcomes or decisions for the conference, next conference, but you haven't implemented. So it's that responsibility. Hence, we say we need to have this ratified so that implementation can also take place. The process that was followed, as my colleagues has spoken to this, we consulted with state law advisors in terms of what we're doing. We liaised with DERCO. We went to present at the different clusters, including the ICT cluster. And basically, we are here at this particular committee to get an endorsement of this particular act. Okay? As I had mentioned at the beginning, there was more than 40 positions that we took to the conference, but there's also a relationship to the different decisions that have been made. So the all in all, when the changes were made in the final act, you'll have a huge document of around where you're making changes to the different tables, the different footnotes and so on in that particular document. So we extracted the decisions which were mainly key to the Republic as we went forth, and hence these are the outcomes of the conference that we're requiring that requires ratification, plus those that we didn't mention in this particular presentation. But in terms of the mandates and what we need to do in updating the National Radio Frequency Plan, we need to make sure that this particular allocation on mobile broadband allocation is updated. Now, we, as a republic, and of course, as part of the continent, we've managed to get around 487 megahertz of spectrum for utilization by mobile broadband communication. This particular allocation was received in the different segments or different ranges of the band. If you look at the first one, we managed to get around 94 within the 700, and there are different values that have been showed there in terms of where this particular spectrum was received. As I mentioned earlier, we've also managed to protect spectrum for broadcasting for DTT. This particular spectrum is within that band of 470 to 694. This will ensure that South Africa continues to deploy DTT. We've managed to get spectrum for emergency and communication disaster relief. We've also managed to get spectrum, more spectrum for search and rescue. Okay. Minister has spoken to the issue of drones. We've managed to get more spectrum for unmanned aircraft and wireless avionics. Now, one thing that is also important here in terms of this particular spectrum, we'll have a situation where in aeroplanes, communication is based on wireless technology, unlike the wiring of airlines that is currently taking place. This will basically mean less utilization in terms of fuel from airlines. The lighter the airlines, the aeroplane, the lesser the fuel that it consumes. So the cables that are in this particular aeroplanes, they are not cost efficient. Another issue that was also important was global flight tracking. Minister mentioned that this was as a result of disappearance of Air Malaysia, and originally this particular outcome was not part of the conference. It was made part of the conference at the Plenipot of 2014, and we supported inclusion of this particular issue as an agenda. So we've managed to get spectrum around this particular issue. Let me highlight to the members here that this spectrum is useful because aeroplanes, once they are in oceanic area, they do not communicate with ground. They can only communicate when they're flying inland using terrestrial networks. But when they are in oceanic areas or any remote areas, they cannot communicate. So we've managed to get this particular spectrum for use by satellite service, through satellites. So I think we will all be safe when we go to America, China, and the rest. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think we've tried to cover as many applications and or services. I mean, there's more spectrum that we've managed to get for maritime. The other issue that was also important that Minister mentioned, the issue of road safety. We've managed to get more spectrum. Actually, this is one of the first allocations in the history of this conference to allocate spectrum for road safety. Now, using a short-range high-resolution radars, the likes of collisions can be reduced as a result of this particular allocation. It means with standards being developed, there has to be development that needs to be done in the new cars to make sure that cars are, well, I won't say collision free, but they can detect and reduce any other collisions that are likely to be possible. We've also managed to ensure that there's more spectrum for environment. Environmental monitoring. I think if we look at the recent issues in Gauteng with the weather being, I think the casualties that we had, if this particular allocation was already there, maybe it would have made a difference in terms of detecting and monitoring. We've also managed to get more spectrum for fixed satellites and fixed satellite services. I think one thing that is also important in terms of the satellite is the satellite filing and coordination and notification processes. As developing countries, we're sitting in a very, very disadvantaged position when we were going to this conference. Previously, what used to happen is that when first world countries want to launch a satellite, they send you a communication. If you do not respond, automatically they assume that you are in agreement, then they launch in your space. The difficulty in doing that is they continue to launch. By the time you decide as a republic that you want to launch, you find that there's so much interference as a result of their services or their satellites that are there. So we've managed at this particular conference to have what we regard as a tacit agreement. If they send the communication and they don't get a response from the republic within 3 months, it means we're not in agreement. They need to proceed pursuing us to say we want to launch in your space, rather than have a situation where if they don't get a response, they launch without you agreeing. And it has created the challenge for majority of all these developing countries, including South Africa. But I think this particular decision or regulatory procedure that we agreed on at the conference, it will work in favor of majority of the developing countries. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation and the input by the Minister. Shall I note members who have questions, comments on this presentation? Honorable Shin, the first one, Honorable Zotese. Okay, those two hands.
Yeah, I just have to have one question regarding the Wi-Fi, if you like, on aircraft instead of copper. Will this facilitate internet? Will that help at all, or will it interfere with users, passengers' access to internet services? Was that discussed at all on the aircraft? You know, because there's a move to have internet availability on aircraft.
Some have, yeah.
So does this at all, is this wireless avionics intra-communications, does that help with supply that service, or will it be an interference?
Yeah, it's quite very interesting because you find other flights already provide, they tell you to shut down your phone, others, you get to them, it's just fine. I found it very interesting, actually, that notion.
So my question is sort of a follow-up of the one asked by Uncle Suel about the term of review, and you said something like 8 years. Okay, I'm just thinking of this one as well on bullet two about how often do you review, taking into consideration that ICT moves very fast. By the time you review, how do you cope with the catch-up of the latest development?
I'll give to respond.
Thank you, Jake. Honorable Shin, definitely there wouldn't be any issues. If you look at the numbers, then spectrum is it talks to numbers. The allocation that has been made for this particular services of the WAKE, the wireless, it's within 4,200 to 4,400. Now, if you're coming up with, say for example, if it was terrestrial, let me use the example of terrestrial while we're still on the ground. Ground systems that are using Wi-Fi, they're using around 5.8 and 2.4. So they are basically at different frequency ranges. So as a result, they wouldn't interfere. But if they were within the same 4.2 to 4.4, then you'll definitely have interference. Also, there's also separation distances that are required within the services. If this particular service, majority of the airlines as they fly in terms of the Wi-Fi that they're providing, they're using satellite. Now, the satellite services, the majority of the services that are satellite, they have an uplink and a downlink. The uplink happens between 3600 and 4200. Now, the downlink, it's above between 4.8 to around 5.2. So clearly, in terms of this particular allocation, when we make the allocation, and as I said, it is also important that while we're trying to have an interference-free, we look at the different services that are currently using the service to ensure that they do not there's no interference. There are, however, other services that can work together with no interference. But and hence the reason to say, before you make a position, we keep conducting the studies in the four years period that before you can make the decision. And as Minister had mentioned, there's already technical work that has already started for the allocation for WRC 19. So we keep going to this meeting, we keep conducting the different studies in consultation with the different users, your aeronautical, maritime, mobile, to ensure that whatever the services that are already there, there's no interference that we are causing to the currently allocated services. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. With regards to the radio regulations, the review and revision usually takes place 3 to 4 years. But as developing countries, we found that it's actually very much disadvantageous to actually do it over 3 years, especially now. It has happened in the past to say the time frame between WRCs to review the radio regulations is actually 3 years. In WRC 12, countries like Canada pressed very hard for that position to say the next WRC must be within 3 years. That WRC was actually at the beginning of WRC 12 in February, and WRC 15 was actually late in November. So that allows that 4 year period, which actually advantages developing countries. The reason for this is it's because of the studies that must actually be completed before the conference, which are actually very much complex, and also the length of the agenda of the conference sometimes that does not actually allow all the ITU study groups then to actually complete their work. And the report that then gets to be produced at the end of the day, it must be available 6 months before the conference in all six languages that are used by the ITU for the member states to actually prepare properly for the conference. So we've actually taken that conscious position to actually discourage reviewing the radio regulations within a three-year period. So we quite insist on the four-year period. We are quite comfortable with that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Maybe just to add, thanks to satellite digital communication, you know, I was disadvantaged. I left when they were still counting in the U.S., but while I was with that foreign aircraft, I could see in real time when this guy is one now. I thought I'll see it when I land. As I said, because of what Solo was saying, making sure the studies and ensuring that there's no interference, I still don't understand why our national aircraft so you must wait until they open the doors. I was learning this morning. Oh God! In our aircraft, you get your Wi-Fi, you get your internet, even free Wi-Fi, although it's too short, too small. And then you have to buy. Yeah. But the key thing to me, Chair, as we move forward, that maybe you just take some. The study groups are very important, because conference takes the work which has been developed over years by these study groups. In that respect, because we're a little bit disadvantaged that we didn't have anybody in Geneva, so we can't afford transporting our officials every time there's a meeting there. So that gentleman, please, just show your face. We have nominated him to go to my wish was that he should have left. It doesn't seem he wants to have Christmas here. Because it's very important to track and follow what is happening there. Otherwise, you'll be left forever if you don't participate in study group. And have somebody then who can then, okay, there's something which touches the Department of Environment. Let me touch base quickly and do a quick consultation with the home base and be able to advance the interests of our own and our own economy. The second one is the issue of skills and innovation. I mean, it's all about the future economy. It's all about the fourth industrial revolution. Even our most close friends, like BRICS, sometimes we find them pushing funny things because they are really looking, those who develop gadgets, they like us to pass the rules which favor their gadgets. So it is important that as a country also increase our capacity in applications and innovation and all those things so that we can have some interest to protect too. I've told my officials I'm sometimes reluctant to go. I went once to one of mobile. Because all what I saw there, yes, we speak. But the main thing is that companies are selling their products aggressively to other countries. So we must have something to sell, even in these things. Because now people are talking about 5G technology, 5G spectrum, and all and the next generation. But it is those countries who are participating in the studies trying to push for what they are developing in their own space. So it's going to be important that we build up the skills. When we were actually going to Geneva, the whole cabinet was of the view that we should really, on some of these red skills, because we realized that we need to increase our skills base in some of the critical aspects of the ICTs. And we're actually putting a proposal that maybe we should set aside just a small amount, 25% of NEFAS, to be put as bursaries for highly deserving students who will be entering in this field and take our country forward, irrespective of what race they come from. But as long as they've got the capacity that they can enter and grow, because without a wider skills base, we hope that whoever in the commission will really look into that favorable, because we do need. When you're talking about satellites, it's countries who have got skills, who have got these satellites launched there, and so on, in all various things. The municipalities were very excited about this emergency thing, and that's why to ask the issue of the national frequency plan and the location is quite needed, because I saw most of our metros were very interested. When are we having this? because that's a reliable service which they've got in terms of their emergency and rescue plans. the DST, or Science and Technology, is working on and pushing and collaborating with some African countries on the issue of satellites. We are supporting them on this. because we are trying to look to have affordable satellites launched. They are starting what they call it cluster satellite, low orbit satellite, but then we then will grow. We think we should grow the national growth in this regard. Then lastly, it's very important also to have your academics being part of this. We do a lot of research in our own institution. And last week I was here all the way in India, the director of the Deputy Secretary General who's responsible for standards. Yes. Standards. He put a proposal which we felt as this country should support when we go next. that we should allow university to register to be members at a reduced cost, because that's what is preventing most of the people joining the ITU. And to us, I think it will add more value, because we really got cutting-edge universities in terms of technological research, so that they can assist us to enter into that fourth revolution, industrial revolution. I thought I should just mention those in addition, that really thank all the private and public stakeholders. Almost half of the departments were represented at a high level, and that's what gave the success of that conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister and members. Any follow-up on the matter? No, we'll go to this.
In the absence of any follow-up, I would like to ask the Minister, as far as the attendance of this conference is concerned, if there's any policy prohibiting Minister to extend the invite to the committee when I attend.
No, I think, Minister, let me just say it on behalf. I think it's important. I think Honourable Zodis might have said it, but I think it will help for members of the of Parliament to have a sense of what is happening. And to the defense of Minister on this one, I was invited as chair, and Parliament messed up my traveling, unfortunately. I ended up at the border gate of, I was about to board the flight, and I was turned back because Parliament didn't process my traveling properly at 11 o'clock at night from OR Tambo. So Minister had invited, but at that time the invite was for chair. But I think, Minister, just to say, I think the issue raised by Honourable Zodis is important. For members to really be more appraised with the issues and have a deeper understanding and appreciate what you go through and the issues globally as part of growth and development for members and as well as for that cooperation at this level.
Now, let me just add, Chair, I think we look into it, but sometimes we were constrained by resources. even myself, when going there, it was the first conference because this one was almost a month. So I went there for the first 2 days, then I went the last day, okay, just to sign. But went there to set the tone first, because you're allowed to put the statement. As leaders of delegations of countries. That helps because then you can get more alliances in terms of support if you are upfront. Then, of course, at the end, somebody will say you are tired by exhaustion. You know, even if you didn't win your case, you are allowed to voice your reservation there and put them on record. That if South Africa won't comply with this because of this and this and this reason. So it is put. But for members, it may be quite important. It may not be all this, but I think there are critical outcomes, those which are linked to the UN, like the ITU, the UPU, that even if it's not the health committee, maybe 3-5 members of the committee, they can choose. Because we are not we are resource constrained, it is important to follow these developments. we'll try and facilitate as far as we can, and the attendance of the members. Because it's only when you are deeply appreciating what is the stake at the international level that, much as we fight even with our industry at home. But we tend to be more close when you are in those international forums and really push. I think even at BRICS, which was more of a political alliance, or maybe to put it like that, not democratic alliance, they've really opened up even for our own companies. And all the companies, even the private sector ones, who go there, they see a lot of benefit because they see the growth in the market and so on. So it may be if it's possible. We have the BRICS meeting only once a year. It's usually the host country, which have the next host country is now. It was India. Next one is China. Then will be the next host. It may be important that as we go to China, because you'll be invited to participate maybe when we're here at home. It's easy. The only problem is that our international partners, they only like Cape Town. That we always tell them, no, we rotate our conference around the country. But Cape Town is okay now because Parliament is still here. Yeah, we'd like to move to Tswane as soon as possible.
It's good to hear, Honourable Mackenzie, now that you are agreeing with Tswane as a host. Okay.
I love Cape Town, but I don't think that I'm
from Germany, so.
Two Cape Town is too expensive.
No, thanks, Minister, for that. I think as well, most of the time in terms of this international conferences, if we are invited, Parliament normally carries the burden in terms of resources, because they don't want us to be part of the fruitless expenditure. If it happens, I'm not saying it's not. So they always protect us to say no. They carry the expenses, so that shouldn't be the burden. Members, same thing. We've got the report in front of us, drafted. Let me just read it through. Sorry. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications and Postal Services on the World Radio Communication Conference 2015, in brackets WRC 15, Final X, dated 15 November 2016. The Portfolio Committee on Telecommunication and Postal Services, having considered the World Radio Communications Conference 2015, in brackets WRC 15 Final X, and explanatory memorandum thereto, referred to it, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 213, subsection 2 of the Constitution, approve the said agreement report to be considered. Are we in agreement, members? Move up.
We don't have it.
Is it? No. It's there in the package. No, there are two towards the end. Yes. She just separated them. The first one was following the first document. The second one was following the last one. Yeah, she's opening it in some of the folders already. It's there. Yeah, just look on the green buttons. Yeah, the last two, ne? Is it the last second thing? I've just dismantled my file, so I can't tell you from which point. You've got it. Just to allow all members to look at it. Are we comfortable, members?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the report? Honorable Sotisi. Seconder? Honorable Manuel. Thank you very much, members. We're done with the adoption of the reports and the presentation. Thank you very much, Minister and the team. You're welcome to leave because we are now dealing with our reports and the program here. Yeah, thank you very much. Do you want to take a 2-minute stretch or are we still fine? 2 minutes to stretch.
Shopping tonight.
Maybe you were stuck in surfing.
Yes, I was. Okay. I just came in and
I saw what you're saying just now.
Oh, okay, that's good. Let's resume members so that we can finish in time. The next item is the report on the cost to communicate. It was circulated. I know we received some comments. Do you want me to go page by page, members? Sorry, you said?
A couple of little things that need to just cleaned up.
Okay, maybe it should be easy to quickly move through. Okay, yeah, I think today my patience is very severe. Members will pardon me. Nothing at all. Okay, let's take Honorable Shin on the report, the issues that you've got. I don't know if, is it the one that you emailed already?
It's basically typo stuff and the odd bits and pieces like that.
Okay. The committee secretary must go page by page so that she can follow. Okay, let's go. Where is my photo pick? Okay. Page one. Page two, Honorable Shin.
The third paragraph starting cell C. I think we should put R in front of the zero, as we have done elsewhere in the report.
On the charging,
0.16. Yeah, 0.16. To put the R in front of it. Yeah.
Page 3, Honor McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs down, beginning statistics SAs 2015. On the second line, South Africans, if you can put an apostrophe after the S, I presume it's not South Africa's household expenditure. So apostrophe after the Africans.
Household. After the S.
After the S on Africans. And then in the third line, ICT products, then you've got a double bracket there, if you can just remove one of those. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Page 4. Honorable Shin.
The third paragraph starting the NDP highlighted that. We don't need a comma after that. And then in 4.2, the paragraph starting, while there's some vigorous competition, the second line, resell by some of the larger internet service providers? The missing R. Yeah.
Page 5. On our machine? Okay.
On 5.
Yeah.
Okay. The paragraph starting with regulator. I think we should cap that C, chapter 10. And we put competition. I think chapter 10 doesn't, I think we need an analysis or review is what chapter 10 enables them to do. Institute a chapter 9, a chapter 10 review or analysis as opposed to competition, because competition is the wrong word there.
Mr. Chairperson, remember, I was not part of this. I really just read it for information.
Yeah. Chapter 10, loans competition.
Yes,
it says competition matter.
Yeah, but you can't institute a competition. You can institute a review of competition or an analysis of competition.
Inquiry.
Just that review. Oh, okay. So
inquiry. Yeah.
The actual act is a review and what's talked about an analysis.
Yeah.
So I think we should use one of those words. That's what you ask, is a review or an analysis of the stage of competition. So if you just say a chapter 10 analysis.
It's analysis of the state of competition.
Okay.
Okay.
The paragraph starting MTN is the main operator. And we've got a word after RIAs, we've got in brackets, the, that can come out. Then further down, this line starting with the data collected, I think we can cross out the... It's about six down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, with the data collected.
Same paragraph?
Yes. With the data collected from the participants' her phones, I think we should take up the word the and put the apostrophe after the S to make sure that it's more than one participant.
Okay. Data collected from participants.
Participants' phones, yeah, with the apostrophe after the S.
Okay, anything on that page?
Oh, okay.
Page 7. Honourable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Top of the page. If you can put a comma after the 40 calls per month. It just breaks up that very long sentence.
Okay.
And then down to the third paragraph, second last line from the bottom of that paragraph, of the community under study, comma, if you can just watch the spacing on that comma, and then put in the word shows, or reveals, or indicates.
Sorry, I'm
trying
to
learn
to also
pull up
on this.
It's fine,
Chair,
no problem.
Okay. Sorted. Anything on page 7, Kilian?
Honourable McKenzie has indicated that there was an extra space, and the same applies for the beginning of that sentence, just the line above where he was reading from. Policy brief, remove that extra space before the comma.
Thank you. 6.1.2.1, RIA conducted research. We could drop that A. And then 6.1.2.2, I don't think we need to say other African countries on the second line. We can just say 49 African countries.
I will put
this. This is more one, so you can have a comma after the first line, under 6.1.2.2. Using the second quartet benchmark analysis, comma, South Africa, blah, blah, blah.
Page 8, on the motion.
the first line, Telkom Mobile, which traditionally had the cheapest voice. We've got two heads in that sentence. And then the fourth line got 10 rand extra, leaving them with 15 rands worth. I suppose you can leave that.
Okay.
Yeah, I can leave that.
Thank you, Chair. One, two, three lines down at the end of that line, MTN's cheapest voice and SMS product, signature 35 monthly. So it's just a single product. And then, are you with me?
No.
And then towards the bottom, it's a fourth one. And then down towards the bottom of the paragraph, second last line from the bottom of that paragraph, however, comma, the or it should be inserted there. Thank you, Jane. Are you with me?
We need to insert what after...
However, it's low price strategy or the low price strategy. Thank you, Jane.
Okay, pick those up.
Thank you. It's the second paragraph starting subscribers. I'd like to change it to subscribers to growing prepaid market into the page 9, yeah. The paragraph starting, while the cheapest flat tariffs. Line 4.
Under 6.1.2. Oh.
I don't know what's under.
Okay. No, just below the figure, no? Figure 2.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I found it.
Okay.
Yes.
The fourth line in the second paragraph starting, subscribers. Subscribers to the growing prepaid market.
Mm-mm. I thought you said signatures. I was waiting to find that one. Or subscriber, not to swing subscribers.
To swing them to the market.
Or to swing?
To swing subscribers to.
Okay, I found it.
Okay,
thanks. Page 10. Page 11. Page
12. No, sorry. Page 11,
yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry to take you back. On the third line down, after 6 Rand, the promotional price, which had been 5 Rand, went up to 6 Rand. Insert a comma there. Which, if this, and then two more lines down, the most expensive of the cheapest price bundle on the market. Mm-hmm. Put the comma not after but after market.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Page 12, Honourable Chin.
Under 6.1.3, the second bullet point, we got two heads again. Can we cross out the first one? And then on the next bullet point, we've got words in brackets that need to come out. 6.1.4, the second bullet point, ensure that service providers include user guidance product awareness.
Okay. Down on page 12, page 13. Honourable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. First line on that page in the brackets, lack of affordable different font. I'm not sure what that means.
Which one?
APC submitted that, and in brackets, lack of affordable different font.
Oh.
Comment from this.
And then the next line down, despite limited income levels, and then you've got a sort of, I'm not sure what you call that squiggle, 400 Rand a month. Is that plus minus or approximately or less than or greater than?
Approximately 200 Rand a month.
Just clarity there. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, okay. It's approximately.
Yeah.
So I think let's put it plus minus.
Plus minus.
Because it's a language that everybody would understand. Honourable Killian?
Sorry, Chair, is that in the first paragraph or not?
Third paragraph.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. In that same paragraph, the last sentence starting on average, Zenzanelli, we don't know who Zenzanelli is at that stage, so I would suggest we move that sentence to go into the next paragraph before the in Mexico, and in Mexico being a separate paragraph.
Yes, I took that up. 150,000. Thank you. Honourable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Just on Zenzeleni, I presume it is Zenzeleni. If you look at the second paragraph, APC presented the Zenzeleni. It's just the spelling. So it's one or the other. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Shin.
And then in that sentence on average Zenzeleni, whatever it is now, put a space in the 150,000. The very last line, 6.2.2. Now, this is just a query I had through this entire thing. Government is targeting 2.5% of income in SA Connect. The Broadband Commission of the ITU is targeting 5. And I know that Alison Dorwell referred to it repeatedly in her presentation as 5. Now, I gather she got that from the NDP, which she wrote. So I don't, you know, we leave it as it is because it comes from Alison, or do we correct it in line with SA Connect?
NDP.
The target is that South Africans will access, or the cost of access should be 2.5% of your average monthly income.
But that is based on SA Connect.
That is SA Connect. Okay. Yeah, but the government is targeting SA Connect.
No, but remember that there's also an NDP.
Yeah. So which do we go?
I think that's the issue for me. That you have SA Connect and then you have NDP. Now, if you have two government policies that are talking to different types, and I think that's what led to it. And on the report, I think we adopted the NDP targets one rather than the SA Connect target. SA Connect came after NDP.
It's more current document. But I think that's happy to just leave it because it comes from Alison's input.
The recommendations. Now, are we asking DTPS to construct ICASA, or are we starting ICASA itself? And then also, do we, as this committee, have the legal authority to construct ICASA, seeing it reports to DOC? Just a query.
We might have to check, verify. We might need to get a legal opinion on it. We can instruct, but we can recommend. Either we reconstruct it to sound as a recommendation so that we are safer as a committee. Because anyway, the heading there says recommendation. So we can also say, to both the ICASA and to, for example, if we find that there's something that needs more analysis and research, who is more better off than the regulator to go and do that analysis? Because we can't go and engage the sector directly on such matters. Now, we can recommend to say, we recommend for ICASA to do this and provide tangible or whatever. We I think that's how, maybe hence we said recommendation. But how we construct that paragraph is very important so that it's not ambiguous and gives an impression that we have upset powers that we do not have.
Well,
this was my concern, was that no matter what we do, can we even recommend that ICASA do this?
We can.
Because they don't report, you know, they're under the domain of DOC.
No.
And I know there's a split of legislation that's created a nightmare, so as long as we can get away with it, I'm happy.
No, in terms of the split, we can, because the proclamation gave them certain... What we did in Parliament was for administrative purposes, because we didn't want ICASA to come to PC Telecom's to account on partial of their annual reports, on partial of their finances. And it made it sense to say, no, let it go to communication fully in terms of their strike plans and all those things. But in terms of the proclamation the President has made, they account to this portfolio on issues around telecoms. They can't go to the other committee. And this is my engagement even with our sister committee, especially even on appointment of ICASA councillors. I've raised it, flagged it, to say, look guys, we are affected as the portfolio committee because the people that you are appointing might be strongly content-wise and lack on what we are looking for. And you have an obligation to look at two sides. Your interest is on the broadcasting, our interest is the side. Now, when you look at candidates, how to ensure that you balance the two? So we are currently in discussion with that. So in terms of us having a mandate to engage with them, we do have that mandate to even instruct them in terms of the law. But I think it's on administrative purposes that we've tried not to have them coming to both committees and not wanting to create that confusion. So, members, with that discussion, do you want us to reconstruct that paragraph or still comfortable on option? Because on the top it says recommendation. I think when we say to DGPS, because we're thinking that accountability is through the minister.
Our recommendation is that ICASA do something.
Yes.
And if we are empowered to do that, then I'm happy that we do that.
Okay, yes, we are.
Thank you. 7.1.1, the second last line in the paragraph in brackets can come out. She writes like me. Okay. Anything else on this page? Page 18? Just this little one, the last paragraph, starting the department responded. Fifth line starting accessibility. We can have a lowercase I for international segment.
Page 19, Honorable
Shin. Second paragraph, third line, starting pursued to ensure its success. The next sentence. Sorry. Second paragraph, third line.
Okay.
Starting pursued to ensure. The sentence that starts there. I would say there is much that has been done, or there is a lot that has been done, rather than was. It's probably the easiest way to check that. And then the sentence starting, the department suggested, we can put lowercase government and private sector and again government, lowercases. They don't need to be kept. Third paragraph starting, the department. The third last line starting, determined.
Just the third paragraph, third last line, determined that, words in brackets can come out. Contributing factors. That's the paragraph that it's in. The department responded that other contributing factors? What's on my page is the third. So.
Okay.
And then determine that. Words in brackets can come up.
Data costs were significant, but we're not convinced that all department, all government needed to be G-rated. Is it government departments?
Yeah. Government services.
Government services.
Chairperson. Second paragraph, second last line, the government should encourage more of these type of initiatives.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Then the following line, enable new entrants to enter the market. We can do without that of.
Page 24. Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chair. Under recommendations, the first two bullet points aren't recommendations. I would suggest that we move them up to the previous observations and then just leave as the recommendation. ICASA should provide a full map.
Yeah, the last one remains. Honourable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first bullet point on the page before any changes, second line, for instance, doesn't need an S there.
Yes.
Then the third bullet point, second line, able to charge lower costs during the night, comma, this is an indication.
Comma, this.
Because you've got an if in the top line, so that if operators are able to charge lower costs during the night, comma, this is an indication. And then before editing changes, under recommendation, second bullet point, second line of the high demand, if you can just remove that space between the dash, then further down, that will boost, B-O-O-S-T, not boast. Then, Chair, if I can just, you know, just for the, do a bit of deep politicking here. The CSIR, and if you just read that opening paragraph, it's very informative as to what the CSIR was formed and mandated to do. It's almost criminal where it's not our portfolio, but it's almost criminal where the CSIR is today. So maybe in your higher structures of government, you can look at the CSIR and how important it is to our country, just given this mandate and the growth and economic development of our country. It's a critical institution. Thank you, Chair. Woefully underfunded. Thank you, Chair.
We'll talk to Honourable Master. We'll look in here as the chairman.
Yes.
I invite the chairman staff to discuss that first. Page 25. Honourable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Just also on a general point, I see the page numbers are in a different font to the document.
Okay.
It's not important, but, you know, for consistency, it looks prettier. Then third paragraph on page 24, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down. 25, sorry. Third paragraph, 4 lines down. Wi-Fi at internet cafes. There's the space again after the comma. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
page 26, page 27, page 28, page 29, page 30, page 31,
yeah. 7.4.5, we need to take the question mark away from DTPS, DTSP, whatever. Postal, and it also should be the other way around. Yeah.
Page 32.
Page 33. Okay. I'm not sure enough my page numbers. Consistent with yours, members further requested the presenter, that paragraph.
Yes.
Second sentence, the SRC president, lower P.
Yeah. Page 32. Page 33.
Chair, this, sorry, on under 7.6, this introduction to Touch Central, you know, the voice of trailblazers, the pulse of urban culture, lives in the soul of every person, it doesn't live in my soul. So, you know, I mean, it just sort of fuses this introduction. I don't think it lives in your soul either. It's just so, you know, it's almost too much for a cold, hard, factual report from the Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications and Postal Services. It's like a marketing blurb. You know, you could...
I'm just hearing another businessman envying another one.
No, I don't envy them at all. Their model doesn't make any money. It's all about self-promotion. They see it. And they're not regulated.
It's not that marketing, free marketing opportunity.
Not for us to market them.
Yeah, but not for us as the Portfolio Committee. Can we not stop after, and certainly a voice that has no color or gender, I would support that, and take out this lives in the soul of every person. And take out the word successful. It is a collaboration. We don't know. How do you measure the success? They're telling us. How do we know?
That's what they were saying.
It's irrelevant to what we're writing. Our
thoughts. They were too much for me. I met Gareth years ago. He was too much for me then. Having that key witness that was President Zuma, that'll be something. He's like Howard Stern, you know, a shock jock. They just court controversy. They'd be like Donald Trump. Be more and more outrageous to just break that sound barrier.
No, they're just promoting that party, using it to promote themselves.
No, there's nothing wrong.
Nothing
wrong.
I
think people to be out there.
Gareth, because he's not young.
That was
couldn't join the UP. He's over. He's late.
Okay, so we'll stop at the issue has no color agenda. It is a collaboration between of the South African leading radio and TV personality to lead the success. But they are successful,
How do you know?
Because they have so many young people that follow them, mm-hmm. one.
Did I make money?
We don't know. They're not regulated by ICASA. We don't know what they're
doing. No, just to share with you, in terms of Chibotouch, Chibotouch was on Metro FM as a DJ personality. His show was the most listened to show in Metro FM. Mondays, I know for a fact, across age differences, mothers, young and old, listened to him. When he left, the slot has not recovered eventually. He left for many years. So this is a year or two. That slot is a date frame, I can tell you now. Metro FM.
No, don't deny the individual popularity. We're not questioning that. The question is whether the portfolio, and I think Honourable Shen alluded to it, whether the portfolio committee should be used as a marketing vehicle for individual enterprises. I'm not sure that's our purpose.
No, we don't do that. Because that's what I'm saying, in terms of my view, is where I'm sitting, in how you define, because, I mean, there are many young people who look up to him as a growing person, especially Chimucha Chama. I'm not famous about Gareth, has been in the Barakam for some time. But for a young person like Chimucha, he's got ranges, you know, clothes or anything, and some. That he's got quite a number of things as a business, young business person that is being looked after by many young people as an ideal model. Even when he left Metro, people thought he would break down, and he didn't. So he's seen as a success. I'm just talking from a point where I'm sitting. He's seen that way. I might not have the same view as far as honestly speaking, but with what I know, he's done that. I mean, he's been able to be taken by many companies to promote their thing, and he's got a range of them. By the way, why was he fired from Metro? He promoted his range then.
But they refused to carry an advert that was sponsoring the show. They refused to carry sponsored ads.
Or
show that he's not a successful businessman if he turns away the people with the money.
No, but that's our principle.
Very main little, mundane little correction that I wanted to actually do, but I tried to attract your attention. Can I just take you back to page 32?
Honourable
Gillian, you're slow today. No. I'm not slow, Chair. The meeting just jumped.
We're
to the...
It's
just the last paragraph. There's just a little apostrophe that is missing. Students' work. Last paragraph. Members asked what the impact was on the students' work.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was actually expecting Honourable Shin and Honourable McKenzie to raise it, but they didn't.
Page 33 corrected that paragraph. We'll remove the, we'll end with the agenda, and then we'll remove the success. It is a collaboration between young South African leading personal radio and TV personalities.
And leave the names.
And then we go 34. 35.
Paragraph starting members ask. We should just take out that word on. Members asked whether it was advisable.
Okay. Anything on that page? Page 36? Page 37? Page 38? Page 39? Page 40, Honourable Shin.
Question again, a question mark removed after DTPS.
Yes. Page 41. Page 42. Page 43. Page 44. Page 45.
I was just querying under 7.8.4, the last bullet point, when we say ensure seed funding was made available. Now, I don't know whether that actually comes under DTPS or whether we should ask DTPS to discuss with DTI to have seed funding for small businesses.
We'll reconstruct that. To say DTPS to ensure that a discussion with DTI on seed funding was made available for startup.
Yeah. Okay.
DTI or small business. Oh yes. We'll include both of them in case.
And all.
Yeah, and all small business.
Okay.
Thanks. Page 47. Page 48. Page 49. Page 50, on our motion.
7.9.4, the first bullet point, ensure.
Yeah.
And I would like to add, ensure as a priority access to additional spectrum.
Just the heading, Chair, DTPS and not DTSP.
Thank you.
Page 51.
My first line.
Page 52. Page 53. Page 54. Another question.
This is on page 53. Okay.
What? 53, Chair, at the bottom. Again, DTSP instead of DTPS.
Yeah, we've got it done. Another question?
Yes, the paragraph 7.11.1, mm-hmm. That typeface is higher, is larger than the others on the page.
Mm.
So it just needs to be reduced in size.
Okay, the font. Thank you.
Page 55. Page 56. Page 57. Another question.
Under 7.11.4, the second point.
7.11.4. Okay, that for me becomes.
Okay, so on mine is 57. Ensure that national roaming is regulated.
Or is regulated. I think gets regulated. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. 57? 58? 59? Page 60,
7.12.4, the first bullet point. Ensure that government. I think we need to expand that a bit because I would like to sort of say to ensure that government acts as an anchor tenant on shared infrastructure networks where feasible to ensure low cost to government departments. Because we're saying serve as an anchor tenant where? How? Infrastructure networks, where feasible, to ensure low costs to government departments. The first bullet point, I wondered, but we didn't include it earlier, so you know maybe it's moot at this stage. Ensure that it costs to conduct an ECA Chapter 10. Do we need to put that in? So we need to put it in at the previous time it appeared.
Yeah, I think let's include it there on previously so that we... Because it's important, this issue of competition, that is done. So as a recommendation as well. Okay, Honourable Killian?
It's just the heading again. Sometimes we slip back and sometimes it's corrected.
Okay. That's the last page. Move up for the adoption number of the report. Honourable Shin, supported by Honourable Jesse. Thank you very much, Brenda. Last agenda on our is the program that we've got. Just to take,
I must get my mic on. The program, just to take you through, we back January 24th. The session will end with almost oversight time, 31st March. but constituency 3 to 21 April. I'm not sure if members have looked at the program and they have any suggestions or queries. Or Mackenzie?
I have a suggestion, Chair. What happened to our study tour to Latvia and India and Russia? E-government. Latvia is a leader in e-government worldwide. Thank you, Chair.
Nothing. That will do that as well.
Yeah, normally international trips take place almost like 3 times in a year. January, July time, and November this time. This time it was pulled off. I'm not so sure they said we're not going to international things unless if we had an invitation. That's the only way we could get if we had an invitation, we would have been approved, gone. For the January one, when we had a meeting of chairpersons, they said to us we shouldn't include that in terms of the financial constraints of Parliament. There's quite tight budget going towards the financial year, and we were informed that there's no resources to take international trips. Hence, you can see the programs would be in terms of local. But we were advised to submit our proposal for the consideration for the June-July session. We've done, members, just to be quite clear with you, we've done our application up front, we've done our motivation, everything is ready. We had submitted it, we had to withdraw, and I guess from where we are sitting, all once we get a go-ahead, it will be to change the dates and get new codes of flights and accommodation and resubmit. But in terms of the work of what actually, of what we had done, I'm just going to quickly open here with the team. We've looked at what the department has proposed in terms of the countries based on even white policy paper, where they're saying this is what we are basing on. Because I said to the team, I need to be able to justify to the House Chair why are we going to that country specifically. What is it that we are going to learn? Is there anything that we are going to learn? Now, part of what we got, I'm trying to see. Then we selected Russia. I'm just prop and roll out. You are like Honorable Mackenzie. Yeah, we had put it 10 October because we did that study tour. So we've looked at what we want to go and study, the issue around open access wireless network. We've looked at that and gave background because of the departments and all those things. So the whole work, benchmarking, and we explained to say this is what happens in Mexico in our application. This is what happens in Mexico. Why maybe we would not go to Mexico and we think Russia is the best. And we gave Russia an example. We gave our thing, and we gave Kenya, rankings. We took 3 countries, one African in the continent and 2 internationally. And then we explained the rank. So I think our motivation is more stronger in terms of consideration, but I think the issue for the House Chair has just been the issue of resources for now, for January specifically, that were not granted anywhere to go. That's why you can see even towards the end of this term, if you remember, members, normally we have oversight. Those oversight has been pulled out because of constraints of resources, because from what House Chair has been saying to us is that budget for Parliament has been shrinking, but the responsibilities have gone up. So they literally, and you'd have noted that there's now a Parliament oversight team. Is it a committee that has been established to look at our strategy as Parliament and the finances? I think it's a multi-party committee that is oversighting Parliament or authority, oversight authority, together with the executive led by the Secretary, just to look at how we're spending, where are we spending, and reprioritize. We're hoping that team will help us for the next year, because we've been raising concerns that majority of the work or the heartbeat of Parliament is in committees. You can't continue to shrink the budgets of committees, or you don't even look at the responsibility of committees. What do they have? Because you find a committee with one entity giving the same budget with a committee with 10 entities. your meetings are more compared to that committee. The report, the support you need and everything else becomes too much. Now you find most of us, like telecoms, we one of those committees that exhaust its budget because of the work. Once you have oversight and you have, we didn't have oversight. So we survive, otherwise we'd be in the negative. Once you have oversight and you have public hearings, you're gone, finished. No more money. So those are the things that they're trying to address, and we've raised it as chairpersons to say, don't constrain the work of the committees because of budget. Try and see where we can reprioritize the areas which are not critical and all those things. But we've been promised that there is a team that is working, a multi-party team, I think, led by our chief whips, that are reviewing and looking at the whole budget. And I'm hoping that the new financial year will be different in what we do, because committee work is quite important. Actually, if we can just discourage them of submitting all those motions, we do our oversight and come and debate our oversight reports in the House. Because I think it's more valuable. It's what we have gone to see, what people experience and all those things. That's one of my views. That's why I want us to have more work that can come into the House to be debated, because it's what we can talk about that we've seen. And people can actually even relate to what we are talking about, because if we've been to oversight in Limpopo and where, and we come and say, this is what we've been to Limpopo, we've seen, people will be encouraged by seeing the committees and all that. So that's the issue on the issue of SADCOS members. I'll continue on your behalf the battle. As I said, our documents are ready. We've done the team sham. They've done well. I put them under pressure to do. See, now I did quotations and then we submitted and were told, no, sorry, not now. So that's all, because we are targeting this period for the study tour. Anything else on the program, Honourable Chair?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm concerned about the digital migration program. I know that I did ask you sometime during the year for us to have perhaps a two-day public hearing on re-evaluating the digital migration program, because it's not working. It's far too expensive as it is. And obviously there's a court case that's coming up in February, but irrespective of the outcome of that court case, the program is unaffordable. And it's technologically, if I can call it, sort of backward, as it were. And I find it unacceptable that because of a program that was established in 2008, that our set-top box installation is costing three times more than if you actually bought it from a shop in town. And we can't afford it. The cheaper we go, the more we can install. So I think that we actually need to look at the model and have input on the technology upgrades and just evaluate the whole thing and see if it's worth pursuing in its current form, and if not, how it should be pursued. But that would obviously need to be in conjunction with DOC.
Yeah, that's the difficulty. Okay, Honourable Kile, that's the difficulty on that one, because you have to cooperate. And I was saying, actually, the things that I'd listed to go, there were more than what we have time for. And we're battling to say what we prioritize on. And what I was trying to do here is to bring the things that were pending from now, or things that, for example, INEC promised to say they've got a revised business plan. We need to deal with it before we go into the budget, so that we know, are we approving a budget of an entity that is going to be established or not, those things. Same thing with SAPO. That's what I was trying. If you can see, it's almost the things that we have to get clarity on before we get into the budget process. SAPO, in terms of its, you can see how we've been crafted it. The implementation of turnaround strategy and future prospects of the entity. They've been given money. Are we able to see that what has been committed to us before we go to the budget? Because once we get into the budget and you have a strike plan, people have promised that this is what we are implementing. They might, it's late, but if there are things that we pick up now and even maybe start instructing them to go and put them in their strategy plan, might help us. That's I hear you on the DTT. We really need to get onto the DTT. It's another headache that we need to really get sorted. What we'll do, let's talk to the DOC. I know they are really over some, they are, half of their members are now in the ad hoc committee. Ne? of SABC. You have to have a process. You'll be taken to court. You have to have a process on Honorable Shinya. Otherwise, Parliament will be sent to seem to be breaching the law. Honorable Killian, you wanted to say something?
Yes. Chairperson, I hear what Honorable Shin is saying, and it has an impact on some of the entities that we oversee. But I cannot see that we can move on our own as far as that is concerned. So I would suggest that we perhaps look at the second term and first start with a joint meeting with communication to say to them, we don't want to interfere into your business, but it is having an impact on our entities and their ability, you know, to carry the can and the affordability of all of this. So I think that's the only way that we can actually try to claw back to say we think this thing is really now way too expensive for what we can afford, and why is it that set-up box costs have gone up to that extent, because now we can only serve less than half the people that we wanted to provide set-up boxes for, etc., etc., etc. So I just think it's not our primary mandate. It just has an impact on some of our entities, and therefore we should start there. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I disagree with this Honourable Killian on this. The release of spectrum is our mandate, it's our responsibility. We cannot implement SA Connect without spectrum. We cannot actually reduce the costs to communicate without the release of that spectrum. It is a priority for the whole country. And my thing is that we must do it as urgently as we can, and it mustn't only be the department and the entities that give input to this. We actually need the ICT sector, because they can actually upgrade us on what the technology advances are and come up with the more affordable and faster solutions to implement.
Let's check with the DOC members and then take it from there. So we'll get a Hajirani. Speak to them, see, and what we can do with that, noting that this is important.
The problem is that I hear what Honorable Shin is saying, but because it is a mandate that is carried by the Minister of Communication, that's what I've meant, that it is not our primary mandate. Yes, I agree with her, it impacts on everything else, but if we cannot actually move beyond moving with communications on this matter. That's what I actually said. Thank you.
Okay. We'll sort that out, members, in terms of that. So we are agreeing with the proposed program as it stands, with the issues. Then we'll look at the issue of DTT. I'm looking for my name. Okay. Just two announcements, members. The members who attended the training, Module 2, can we get you to fill the bursary forms? I understand they were not filled. VES has not been paid because we didn't complete the bursary forms. Ajira, if you can resend again today in case members can't find their forms in their emails. Let's just get them. Members, let's sign them, because it's going to impact. That's why we can't even finish the last module now, the remainder of the module. Let's get VES paid for the cost already that has been done. That's the issue I wanted to announce. And then, members, this is our last meeting for the year. We've really done well. Thank you very much for the team. I know we've pushed longer meetings, sometimes longer days, but I really appreciate the cooperation and the spirit that we always work as a team in this portfolio. Really appreciate it. And just to announce, as you see me today, I think you're going to see me again after my maternity leave. I'm taking my maternity leave from January. Yeah, I'm taking from January. So when you return on the 24th, your first committee,
I'll be starting on maternity leave, so I'll be back in May. I'm looking at it. The first time, definitely, I will not be here. Yeah, so thank you very much, members. I thought that's why even when I was sick, I forced to be here today, because it will take some time before I see you again. But I think we'll see each other in Parliament, in the National Assembly. But wishing you a very joyous festive season, members, for you and your family. Thank you very much. And thanks to the team that I normally push them. I know they will love this holiday time.
For sure.
But we really appreciate the support. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned. Yeah.